This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday, April 26, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, singer-songwriter Candy Lee is preparing to move to Florida with her family and go on tour, but not before headlining a farewell concert in Fayetteville.
But first, hours of extremely heavy rains caused tremendous flash flooding in Fayetteville and other places in northwest Arkansas. The flash flooding is over for now, as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
We're standing on a tributary of the White River, surging with caramel-colored water and debris. The day after a catastrophic rainfall inundated parts of Washington County, Benton County, and Carroll County. Torrential rain began falling mid-morning yesterday and continued until 4 p.m., creating havoc in Washington, parts of Benton, Carroll County, and parts of Madison County, where two fatalities have been reported. Jason Morris is director of Carroll County Emergency Management.
When the rain came down in the city of Manchester today, we had a lot of low water bridges as well as regular bridges wash out over roads. And at that point, we had did have some swift water rescues. The rescue team performed those along with emergency management and the sheriff's office. We did close a number of roads, including Highway 412, which is currently closed from Alpena at the Carroll-Boone County line all the way to the Madison-Carroll County line, approximately 25 miles of stretch of road. There are debris and unknown safety of the bridge at Osage. The Beaver Dam, the Corps of Engineers opened the floodgates to 7 feet today to release water. There is flooding along the White River. The Golden Gate Bridge at Beavertown is closed, as well as numerous other county roads. We're expecting after the rain this afternoon, the storm's coming through, we'll probably be closing even more roads.
According to the Arkansas Highway Department, the last remaining blocked section of Highway 412 was cleared by mid-morning. The National Weather Service issued flood warnings for much of the listening area, and a flash flood watch remains in effect through Wednesday morning. Rainfall amounts over 10 inches occurred across northwest Arkansas and northeastern Oklahoma over the past 48 to 84 hours, with local amounts exceeding 14 inches. Additional thunderstorms are expected to develop this afternoon and evening, with severe storms predicted in eastern Oklahoma. The Kings River in Carroll County is 3.5 feet above flood stage. The Illinois River is 14 feet above flood stage at Watts. Yesterday in mountainous Fayetteville, by mid-afternoon, residents saw muddy water cascading down many neighborhood streets, like some freakish waterslide amusement park. Many roads became impassable, creating traffic log jams as people tried to pick up their children from school and check on their homes. The University of Arkansas closed early and canceled evening classes. Roads to XNA Airport were flooded for hours. By evening, most streets were clear of rushing water, but most bottomland creeks and rivers breached their banks. The flood caused one fatality in Washington County, but search and rescue missions continue. Rick Johnson is Deputy Director of Washington County Emergency Management.
Well, right now, what we are doing is we're still getting calls from people who are just now becoming aware of their house flooded, something occurred, or they're damaged or whatever. So now we're still gathering information, and right now, people that house is damaged, they need clothing, food, or whatever, we're referring them to the American Red Cross.
Authorities say most of the swift water rescues yesterday were for drivers who attempted to ford flooded roads and low water bridges they had no business crossing.
The water is receding in most areas. You know, streams are going down, except for some areas like the lake, and the Corps is working on that, adjusting the flow there by opening the floodgates. But we want to be people aware of the debris that's left behind. So even though the water may be gone, be cognizant of the fact there's debris in the roads, and they want to be careful driving across those. Of course, the other side we want people to be very aware of, if it rains some more very soon, which they project, you know, we may have rain again this evening and tonight, that our ground is saturated, so it will not take that much more water to bring these streams back up. So again, we caution water, you know, caution people, don't drive through the water if it's normally not there. You know, turn around, don't drown, I think is the phrase.
Even Rick Johnson says he's never seen such a powerful rainstorm submerge parts of this city.
Well, you know, it's interesting. of course, I've lived in Fayetteville many years, and that's the first time I've seen water in areas where it got to, you know. So it was an interesting rain. It took so long, the rain did, and then when it started raining real hard. But near where I live, we had water that I'd never seen come up that high before. So, and that was that way all over Washington, Benton counties.
Damage assessments being conducted by police, fire, and emergency management across northwest Arkansas. FEMA will also conduct its survey in a few days, Johnson said. Governor Beebe has declared a state of emergency in response to a deadly tornado which destroyed the community of Valonia in central Arkansas and all the flooding in northwest Arkansas. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
These have been busy days recently on the campus of Arkansas Tech University Ozark. And today, the school dedicates its new student union on the campus just off of Interstate 40. The Alvin F. Vest Student Union will include a food service area, coffee shop, computer lab, the campus bookstore, and student meeting rooms. The chancellor of the ATU Ozark campus, Dr. Joe Alice Blunden, says the $1.7 million facility is designed to give students a place other than classrooms to gather.
Having a student union is really the centerpiece of any campus, and to not have a student union is really detrimental to student life. And so after we built the Student Services Center, which is critical to student operations and just the campus operations, we decided to go ahead with a student union, a one-stop shop concept again, where we had the library, the bookstore, food service, a computer classroom, a student meeting room, and then two huge living rooms for students, really, under one roof. And it's really going to transform the campus and student life. It's a beautiful area, and it is obviously critical to student life on campus. So hopefully we'll see an increase in students staying around campus, students having more social activities on campus, which is the purpose of a campus. So hopefully we'll see that.
The new facility's namesake, Alvin F. Vest, led the charge in the 1960s to create the school just southeast of the Ozark city limits. In 1965, the school opened, then called Arkansas Valley Vocational Technical School. A couple of name changes later, the school merged with Arkansas Tech, based in Russellville, in the summer of 2003. Dr. Blunden says naming the new building after the school's patriarchal figure just made sense.
He campaigned to get the facility built in Ozark. There were a number of other places that wanted that facility. One of them was Alma. But it was located in Ozark, and then he built programs that responded to the needs of the industry. And I've looked through all the history of the application to the state of Arkansas, and it's really interesting to see what programs were popular at that time, as well as what industries were there. And a lot of the industries are still very familiar to us, you know, Coy's Gear, Whirlpool. I mean, it was really interesting to see how forward-thinking he was. It was also, throughout Arkansas, they were trying to develop these vocational and technical schools. So we were lucky to get one in Ozark, and then in 2003, we were lucky to merge with Arkansas Tech. So that took the vision of Alvin Vest a step further.
And later this week, the school will host its first ever alumni event, a spring festival scheduled for Friday on campus, open to alums, students, and the public. And earlier this month, ATU Ozark's outreach office helped Scranton High School receive a $28,000 grant from Tyson Foods for computer equipment and software.
A lot of our students actually go to work at some of the Tyson plants around our area, they are in the electronics or industrial control systems, so they'll go to work in the plants. And certainly they've been very appreciative of the skills of our graduates, and we work closely with them. And so the Scranton plant approached us and asked us if there were some way we could partner to help educational attainment in the area and training, and we said, of course we can. And so we applied to the foundation for a grant for Scranton schools to upgrade their computer lab equipment so that the community of Scranton could use that equipment as well. And we could assist with adult ed training, GED, or we can help with training the employees at Tyson. They can come over and do training through our business and industry program. So it's going to be a great partnership. And I understand right now I got the update yesterday. They're installing the equipment. So it's a great partnership.
Dr. Joe Alice Blunden is the chancellor at Arkansas Tech University, Ozark. That campus dedicates its new student union today. Its first ever alumni gathering is Friday. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ahead on the program, what's happening this summer at the Eureka Springs School of the Arts, plus what's happening beginning this weekend with the University of Arkansas Fort Smith Academy of the Arts, and your chance to win two tickets to see Lucinda Williams at the AMP on Sunday night. Stay tuned.
The University of Arkansas Creative Writing Program is welcoming U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Haas to the campus this week. He will read at 7 p.m. Thursday at Giffels Auditorium in Old Main. Known for his work as a poet, essayist, and translator, Haas's distinctions include the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award, and the MacArthur Genius Fellowship. The event is free and open to the public.
Project Right Choice and the Fayetteville Police Department will be at the Fayetteville Farmers Market downtown on the Fayetteville Square Saturday from 7 until 2. They will be collecting unused, unwanted, or expired medication. It's the second annual National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. No questions asked, they say. Just drive or walk up, drop off the unwanted, unused, expired medication. Fayetteville Police Department will be there to make sure the old medicine is properly disposed of. Gift cards will be provided with your drop-off while supplies last.
The University of Arkansas will begin offering an undergraduate minor in sustainability. Students may declare the minor as early as August 15th. In 2007, the university was among the first 100 signatories to the American College and University President's Climate Commitment, a pledge by the institutions to reduce greenhouse gases through a broad array of sustainability initiatives. Those initiatives are being incorporated into the university's curriculum.
And weather permitting, both the Arkansas Razorbacks and the Northwest Arkansas Naturals will be on the baseball diamond tonight. The Razorbacks, who are still tied for first in the SEC West after dropping 2 of 3 at Kentucky this past weekend, are scheduled to host St. Louis University tonight at Baum Stadium in Fayetteville. First pitch set for 6:35. The Naturals, also in first place in the Texas League's North Division, are scheduled to play 2 7-inning games at Springfield tonight. The doubleheader coming after last night's game against Springfield in Springfield was rained out.
The Eureka Springs Downtown Network has announced that our own Jacqueline Froelich is the 2011 Grand Illumination Grand Luminary. An event is planned for May 1st at Basin Spring Park at 7 p.m. This free, family-friendly event launches the annual May Festival of the Arts and includes a toast sponsored by the 1905 Basin Park Hotel and the music of the Awesome Possums. The festivities will conclude with the annual lighting of the park. More information is available at EurekaSpringsGrandIllumination.com.
Do we know yet what the Grand Illuminator's responsibilities are?
I assume lighting the park.
That's a big responsibility.
It is a big responsibility.
We'll have to ask Jackie what she's going to be doing.
Yes, all very excited, and I think she's excited too.
As April fades into May, the activities at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith Academy of the Arts pick up. Not that there is ever really a slow time at the Academy, but much of the work students have been engaging in will be presented to the public beginning this weekend. Dr. Rosalie Walker-Russell is the Executive Director of the UAFS Academy of the Arts.
The spring semester in the Academy of the Arts, there are a tremendous number of activities all through the month of May. We squeeze everything in before the public schools finish, and as the university is finishing, then we just kick into gear and have a lot of concerts and a lot of performances and have a great time.
Starts May 1st with recitals.
Yes.
A very elemental part of music education.
It's extremely important. As a matter of fact, I mean, all of our students from preschool through high school who are taking private lessons, we strongly encourage. We don't require, but we strongly encourage them to participate in recitals, because if they're going to work weekly for 15 weeks and they're going to be practicing every day on all of their repertoire, you know, you want that to culminate in a performance. And we need those kids to get out on stage and get used to being in front of people and having the opportunity to perform, a lot of them from memory. And so it's a very good experience. We don't require them, because there are some people that just simply want to take a lesson and they never want to be on stage. But for the most part, you know, most kids, most young people, children, high school, junior high kids, they all want to be on stage. So we really encourage that, and it's a great fit.
So that's May 1st. Now, May 2nd is an event that, since you and I have started our conversations, I have been anxiously waiting to have happen.
Yes.
Just because I cannot in my mind's eye see what it's going to look like. And I cannot wait. It's the Flute Choir African Drum Ensemble Spring Concert on May 2nd.
That's correct. We have these two new ensembles this year. And the Flute Choir, there are two flute choirs. There's a total of 15 flutes. It's an amazing group. A lot of those flute kids feed into our Youth Honors Orchestra program. And they're students from about 6th grade through high school. So we have the junior flutes. They're a younger group. And then the high school flutes are all-state type of students. They're very advanced. They're probably going to be music majors. And so they come together, and they'll play some separate pieces, and they'll play some pieces together. I've been listening to the Flute Choir rehearse, and interestingly, I love it because they take a lot of piano music and arrange it for flute, and a lot of Debussy. And so I've been going in there hearing, Debussy arabesque, Clair de Lune, 4A pieces, just a variety of pieces that can be arranged really well for flute, and it's beautiful.
So as a pianist, you're not selfish and say, no, that should stay with
no,
my instrument.
I almost think it sounds better on the flute. It's just so beautiful. You hear all the lines and you hear the voicings, and a flute choir is no different than a choral group. They have their part. So you may hear three and four parts at a time, and the lines are beautiful. You can really hear the various parts and the blend. And so it's a great, great sound. And on that same program, we have a new African drum ensemble this year, which we're hoping to really build into a large ensemble. Now it's a small group, a good group of 6th and 7th graders. And we have a wonderful instructor who's just an outstanding percussionist. And that group is going to perform. They're doing a variety of... Well, it's African drum music, and the emphasis is on rhythm. They're learning how to do different rhythms. They're learning how to do different hand positions to get the drums to sound different ways, different timbres. And it's very interesting to listen to them. I mean, I could listen for hours because of the rhythm. It's so high energy. And so they're going to be on the concert as well, and it'll be divided between some flute music and then African drums and then, again, some more flute music. So it should be just a wonderful night.
Yeah, it should be. May 6th, the Spring Choral Concert. You do pack these things together.
We do. Well, we have the Breedlove Auditorium. For people who are familiar with UA Fort Smith, the Breedlove Auditorium is the auditorium. And so we're trying to work our schedule around other, the University Theater Program and the University Music Program. So May is a great fit for us, and it's a great fit for the public school kids that are involved in the academy. It's a time when they're ready to perform and love to do it, and then everything else is kind of winding down, so that works out well. So yeah, we pack a lot into May, and I should say that basically all of these events are free and they're open to the public. The Flute Choir and African Drum Concert is at 7 in Breedlove, 7 p.m. We try to do 7 p.m. concerts unless they are a professional artist series. Our kids, we get them there a little bit earlier. So the choir program on Friday night, May 6th, we have a fully graded choir program, children's choir from grades 3 through grade 6. Those kids, if they're in children's choir, they can also participate in show choir kids, which is a singing and dancing group. So we'll be hearing both the show choir and the children's choir that night. And like I say, they can participate in both. So show choir is really an ensemble of kids. And then we have our junior high chorale, which is a select ensemble of kids from ages 12 through about 15. No changed voices. It's all unchanged voices, girls and boys. And it's about a 25 to 30 member group that they have to audition to participate because they sing very advanced repertoire. They're singing a 4A piece, Cantique de Jean Racine, which is just beautiful. Something that would not be maybe sung at their school. We try to do some things that enhance what's going on in the school. So they do some other, more advanced repertoire. They're actually going to perform that and the Vivaldi Gloria, parts of the Vivaldi Gloria with the Youth Honors Orchestra at the end of that month. So they're going to premiere some of these pieces on their concert on May 6th. So May 6th is a 7 p.m. concert. And again, it's a free event. And it's just a complete evening of children's choir music, advanced choral music, show choir, pop, jazz, you know, a little bit of sacred, some traditional classical choir music, great music with all of our choral.
Dr. Rosalie Walker-Russell is the executive director of the University of Fort Smith Academy of the Arts. A complete list of activities the Academy will be presenting can be found at uafortsmith.edu/academy. And next week, she'll be back on Ozarks at Large to talk about the theater productions that are scheduled for early May. This is Ozarks at Large.
Eureka Springs School of the Arts is offering a full palette of classes this summer. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich brings us this story.
Woodworker Doug Stowe shows a young student how to carve a piece of wood on a mechanical lathe in his woodworking classroom at Clear Springs High School in Eureka Springs. And as a board member of the Eureka Springs School of the Arts, this is where he also teaches summer school woodworking classes to grown-ups. An award-winning artisan and author, Doug Stowe creates luminous inlay ornamental boxes and fine heirloom furniture using mortise and tenon joints and dovetails with local hardwoods. His work's been featured in many national journals and books. He also teaches at prestigious craft schools like Aramont and Mark Adams School of Woodworking. He's been crafting wood since 1976, around the time he founded the Eureka Springs Guild of Artists and Craftspeople.
And it was a wonderful organization, but because we were a guild, it was impossible for us to get nonprofit status. And so some of the my fellow artists in Eureka Springs had, we just really believed that as many artists as there were here and as much of an impact as we could have on the community by having an art school, we ought to have one.
That's when Doug Stowe, along with artist Mary Springer and weaver Eleanor Lux, incorporated the Eureka Springs School of the Arts, carrying on a historic arts colony legacy, tracing back in Eureka Springs to the early 40s. With no facility, it first organized as a school without walls, with classes taught in various art studios. But ESSA, as it's called, eventually purchased a vacant house on Highway 62 at Inspiration Point, 8 miles north of Eureka, overlooking the White River. The facility has since been renovated into an arts campus with 5 studios. A large parcel of land adjacent to the school was recently donated. Classes are currently offered spring through fall. Roger Muterspa serves as ESSA's new executive director.
But we have 2 buildings, actually 3 buildings, I should say now, and hope next year to offer residency on site as well for artists. This year we'll offer 50 workshops. And we served students last year from 12 different states and 2 international countries. So we're well on the path of moving forward, and we just are now populating our 2012 schedule, and we've set aside 20 slots for national instructors. Not to take anything away from Eureka instructors, we have 50 of them there, and we intend to continue with those 50. We just want to add, as we grow the school, we want to add additional depth and complexity of programming, I guess, than what we've had in the past.
He's new to town, retired here 6 months ago from the Chicago area, where he operated his firm, Muterspa and Associates Architects, focused on municipal, school, industrial health, and adaptive reuse. That's preserving historic sites. Art is his second love, so when he learned ESSA needed a new leader, he signed on.
Well, it's to obviously provide the creative arts opportunities to as many people, not only and certainly in Eureka Springs, but we have just launched a platform to become a national treasure in the natural state, and we really intend to become a national school of the arts.
60% of students come from the region, with the rest traveling from 12 states, and 65% are returning. ESSA's linked to the Arkansas Arts Council, an agency of the Department of Arkansas Heritage and the National Endowment of the Arts. It's supported by grants and donations and annual fundraisers, including the popular Mad Hatter's Ball and a fun April Fool's Day party. ESSA also provides seminars in professional arts marketing. ESSA's summer school sessions are very popular and offer an amazing array of courses. For example, plein air conducted on a boat in the middle of the lake, all taught by professionals and in some cases very successful artists and craftspeople.
Well, we have workshops and 5 day, 1, 3, and 5 day workshops in virtually every media that you can imagine, from two-dimensional painting, watercolor, oil, acrylic, pastels. Certainly woodworking is a prime example, metalworking, metalsmithing, pottery, glass, stained glass as well as fire glass, metal, fine jewelry making. We have certainly sculpture, metal sculpture, stainless as well as cold steel.
In blacksmithing. And the duration of the classes, how long are they?
Typically they're 5 days. It's a workshop. It's one intense experience. You come in and you start on Monday morning and go home on Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We have a student show typically every Thursday afternoon so that students can invite other people, family, and friends to see their work in process just before it goes out the door and expose them. And it's open to the public, obviously. And we are this year going to be, we've established a gallery at the school now for our instructors' work. So we just opened that in December of this year, and we anticipate that being there all year round. And we're going to be open Saturdays and Sundays for the first time. So it will be a seven-day business, if you will, this summer. So virtually every media except for performance art and electronic digital media.
Tuition, of course, helps to keep the school going.
Our one-day workshop is $100, basically. Three-day workshop is $165, and the five-day workshop is $275. So it's very affordable. It's $50 a day, basically, $55 a day by the time we... And that includes students, instructors, includes the space, typically includes the materials, depending upon the course. And so it's a very, very reasonable opportunity to get your hands in and try all the different creative opportunities we offer.
And this summer, Doug Stowe will be teaching ornamental box making courses at ESSA's Session 9, July 25th through the 29th.
I focus just on a few basic techniques. We don't have the huge wood shop here. We use the studio here at the Clear Spring School. So with my box making class, it's for beginners as well as advanced box makers. And it's fun. Everybody ends up the week with things that they have made that have their fingerprints all over them, their own creative expression is invested in these objects that can then last a lifetime.
And any Doug Stowe-inspired handcrafted box will certainly become a family collectible. ESSA staff believe adult art education can be, using their wordplay, ESSA-ceptional and ESSA-extraordinary. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Eureka Springs School of the Arts is located near Inspiration Point Opera Colony and up the road from Blue Springs Gardens on Highway 62 north of Eureka Springs. To see the list of instructors and classes, visit esartschool.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. Candy Lee is leaving Fayetteville. She's used her time in Northwest Arkansas to hone her songwriting, perform with her band The Sweets, and record and release her first CD titled The Gate. Sunday night, Candy Lee and The Sweets will play their farewell concert just hours before Candy and her husband David Long drive east toward their new home in Florida. Earlier this month, Candy Lee Long came back to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. This is not the first time you've been here in the studio, but it's kind of a different reason you're here.
It is. I'm, instead of, you know, coming out with a new CD, I'm going away.
You say that in sort of a bittersweet tone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad to leave Fayetteville. It's been just such a great place for me, and the people here have been, like, so great, and I'm going to really miss my bandmates and my coworkers. So it is. It's bittersweet, but it's good. I need to move on to a new direction.
What led to your decision to go?
A bunch of reasons. I'll be a little bit closer to my family, and I've got a lot of friends down there. Mainly, I guess it was a decision my husband and I made. He's got some opportunities for his philosophy down there, so we're going down there for him. But also, I have just a lot more connections on the East Coast. Kind of all the friends that I went to high school with and grew up with have moved out of Florida and moved to like Georgia and North Carolina. So I'll be basically. I'm planning to tour as much as I can, so I'll be up in Jacksonville, which is kind of like on the border of Georgia and Florida. So I'll have kind of easy access to those areas, and then I also plan to come back to Fayetteville a lot. So we kind of just touring all over, I hope.
And this is leading up to a farewell or a I'll be back someday concert.
Yeah, it's like it's a farewell because I am moving, but. But I do plan to come back and visit as often as I can. So I won't be living here, but hopefully I'll be back periodically.
Do you think – this is one of those questions that someone who never writes songs would ask. So, but do you think that a change of scenery, a new place to live, can inspire you or light a spark for songwriting?
I think so, yeah. Fayetteville actually has influenced my music quite a bit. I think just because of I think your environment definitely has an effect on the lyrics that you write and the kind of musical tones that you get a feel for, but also the different musicians that you come in contact with. I feel like I've been influenced by the strong kind of folk roots kind of music and kind of the jazz scene here too. So it's been really good, and I think it will probably change a little bit when I move to Jacksonville, but I'll keep everything that I've learned and experienced here with me.
Do you think the act of moving, of leaving one place to another, you kind of have to sort out your life and decide what stays with you and what doesn't?
You have to, there's going to be a lot of sorting out, and it's kind of, you know, a new beginning in a way for me and my husband as well. So, it's kind of like a renewal, and I think that definitely affects your songwriting as well, so.
Well, tell us about the show, the chance that people listening can still see you.
Yes. The Sweets and I have one last show. It's kind of like a farewell party for me as well. It's going to be at the Greenhouse Grill, which is where I work. And so it's kind of a nice place for me to have it. And it's going to be Candy Lee and the Sweets are going to headline. But there's also going to be a few other bands. The Tiffany Christopher Band is going to play. The Cadre, Lacey Morris, and Tin Pan Alley Cats. So it's going to be a really fun party. It's going to be family friendly and pretty early, 5 o'clock. So I hope everybody can come out.
I love the 5 o'clock start.
Yeah.
I mean, you open it up, like you said, family friendly. It opens it up to a lot of people.
Yeah. I kind of... I found that out when I did my CD release party. I had it at Smoking Barrel, and it was super late. And a lot of people were like, wow, I really wanted to come, but it was just so late for me. So we're doing it a little bit earlier, and hopefully people that have to get up in the morning and go to work can still come, and the people who have to get their kids into bed early can still come too. So.
Have you and the Sweets discussed what could be the last song you play together?
We have not yet.
Okay.
That's a good question. But we are working on a few new ones, so hopefully we'll be playing those at the farewell show.
Okay. Well, do you mind playing something for us here?
Sure.
Get people a little excited about the show?
This is a song called Music Flows. It's a new one, not featured on my album. So we've kind of been doing this one with the band, and it's been really nice. So I thought I'd play it for you. Sometimes I just can't find the words to sing, but I feel compelled to sing something. And so on, so I open up my voice box and mouth and let the music flow through and flow out. And oh, how the music flows if you just let go. And oh, how the music flows if you just let go. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Sometimes I wanna dance, but I don't know the stairs. But the energy inside of me is moving. And so I, and so I, and so I take a deep breath and forget who I am. 'Cause the God inside of me is grooving and dancing. And oh, how the music flows if you just let go. And oh, how the music flows if you just let go. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Music is a powerful force. If anything is magic, music is. 'Cause it can change your mood and mind and perspective. Connect us and lift our spirits. So I don't want to hear that you can do it. Don't you dare tell me that you're too shy. 'Cause anybody, anybody, anybody can make music. All you gotta do, all you gotta do is let go. Oh, oh, oh. Let go and try. And oh, how the music flows if you just let go. And oh, how the music flows if you just let go. Oh, 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 oh,
Do you run into people who tell you that they could never make music or because they're too shy? Or
yes, I have. And it's really a shame because a lot of these people really can make music. And, you hear them singing under their breath or like tapping along to music. And there's really a lot of potential there, but people just get so scared. And I know exactly how that is because the very first show I ever played, I cried and didn't want to go on stage. I was so afraid. But you got to let go a little and let the music take you.
It's a great song.
Thank you.
We should tell people about Kickstarter
and
Candy Lee.
Yes. Well, I created a Kickstarter page. And if you don't know what Kickstarter is, it's kind of like a fundraiser website for creative projects. And the person who creates the project has to... submit like a project, and it has to have an end date and a start date, and you also have to figure out how much money it is that you actually need to be able to do the project. And my goal is $2,000. It's gonna kind of pay for gas and food and expenses like that. Unfortunately, my first tour, I don't have a huge paying gigs yet or anything, so I'm going to need it. You set that $2,000 or whatever it is that you need, in order to complete your project. And you can also set up rewards for people who do donate. There's different like price range brackets, and you get a different creative reward for every different bracket. And hopefully you make all of the money by the due date. You can do it for either 30, 60, or 90 days. And I decided to do it for 60 days since I'm going to be leaving right around the time the Kickstarter project is done. So if I don't get all the pledges for the full amount, I don't get any of the money. So hopefully.
And people can just go to Kickstarter.com
and then
search your name.
Yep, just Candy Lee. You can put it in the search bar and it'll pop up.
So one of the rewards from Kickstarter is free entry into the May 1st show?
Yes. If you donate $10 or more, you get in free to the farewell show. I do have a couple, I guess I'll just give some examples of some of the other rewards I'm offering for the Kickstarter. I'm doing signed autographed posters and CDs, as well as some special access to the website I've got coming out really soon. Video documentary of stuff that of the documentary that I make while I'm on tour, so you can kind of see where your money has gone and follow me on the tour that way. So, and there's a couple of other awards too, but I won't list all of them.
Do you have a, because in the past, to promote some of your shows around here, you've made some videos.
Yes.
Is there one for the May 1st show?
There is one. We just finished recording yesterday, so it's yet to be put together and edited, but it's going to be out on the internet soon, so keep an eye out for it.
Facebook page?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. It's going to be on the Facebook.
Okay. I can't wait. Best of luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Fayetteville's loss is Jacksonville's gain, and we do hope to see you again.
Thank you. Yes, I will be back.
on that next tour when you don't even need Kickstarter because you know everything's lined up. And we'll say we knew you guys when. How's that?
That sounds good.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so
much.
Oh,
and again, the show. We should tell people again about the show.
Yes. The farewell show is May 1st. It's at the Greenhouse Grill. It's a Sunday night. It's going to be from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
And it's time for our giveaway.
That's right. And today, the winner will receive two tickets to see Lucinda Williams Sunday night at the Amp. Lucinda Williams, of course, lived at one time in Fayetteville, won the Grammy for Best Song of the Year for Passionate Kisses, and has a brand new CD titled Blessed. So your chance to go see, and Billy Joe Shaver. Did I mention Billy Joe Shaver is opening? Well, now I will. Billy Joe Shaver is opening Sunday night at the Amp. I thought it would be fitting if we asked a trivia question about the sun.
What's that?
Exactly. If you remember your elementary school science, this should be an easy one.
What if I slept through elementary?
Well, then you've got a 1 in 3 chance.
Okay.
The sun, which is no ordinary star, right?
Sure.
Gives us everything we need. Is 70% something? Is the sun 70% oxygen, 70% hydrogen, or 70% helium?
If you have an answer or would just like to guess, you can give us a call at 1-800-522-KUAF.
It's 1-800-522-5823. All of the correct answers?
We'll put in the ceramic cow and draw a winner, and you will win 2 tickets to Lucinda Williams and Billy Joe Shaver.
That's
on
right.
Sunday.
And again, is the sun 70% oxygen, 70% hydrogen, or 70% helium? Good luck. Time now for our answer to today's question. The question, the sun is 70% something. Is it 70% oxygen, 70% hydrogen, or 70% helium?
The answer is hydrogen. Before you gave those answers, I was actually just going to guess hot.
I think it's 100% hot. It's been 100% missing in action for much of the Ozarks.
Yes.
But we should see more sunshine by the end of the week.
Hopefully.
Some sunshine. I guess I shouldn't say more sunshine. We'll notify the winner of the Lucinda Williams tickets in just a few moments. 2 more tickets given away tomorrow.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Lanigan, Missouri. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. KUAF has proudly served as your source for NPR programming for the past 26 years. You can listen online at our website, KUAF.com.
The Bentonville Public Library and the Literacy Council of Benton County will partner to host their premier event in a new adult lecture series. Participants will learn about the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights Thursday night beginning at 6. That takes place in the Bentonville Public Library's Walmart Community Room. If you'd like more information about Thursday night's event, 271-3192. You can also go online to bentonvillelibrary.org. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Antoinette, thanks so much for filling in, you and Ithy, while I was gone.
Not a problem.
Good to be back.
You can hear an all-new edition of Ozarks at Large tomorrow at noon.